Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we pray today that your word, as is promised, will transform us and will renew us from within. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been undertaking a series, What is Jesus doing now? What is he doing now? Very important question, because if we don't know what he's doing, we don't know what to expect. We've so far been through that he's reigning, which is very important, as we heard that last song, which is an awesome song. Is that the first time we've had it here? We've had it twice now. Who's worthy to unlock the scroll? Well, the one who is reigning is the one who is worthy to unlock the scroll. He's also holding all things together, we heard. We heard as well that he's the head of the church. And we also heard that he's preparing a place. He's doing many things which give us hope, confidence, and purpose. It gives us security. And today we hear that he is interceding for us. You'd be forgiven for not picking that up as we went through the Bible verses, because it's only a very small snippet in the readings that we had, or unless you read it in a particular way, you may miss it. But essentially that whole prayer from John chapter 17, all of it, is Jesus' high priestly prayer, where he's praying for his church, firstly for his disciples, but that also morphed into him praying for his people, even the people yet to come. But there's two ways that Jesus intercedes, and one is to pray and the other is to plead our case. To plead our case before God. And this is why the book of Hebrews is so good for us to know. We only caught a snippet of the book of Hebrews today, and it's talking about this mysterious fellow, Melchizedek. Everyone say it? Melchizedek. Right. I'm turning into a Pentecostal preacher. Melchizedek, right? Well, who is this chap Melchizedek? He gets a brief mention in the Old Testament, and essentially he prays a blessing on Abraham. And so the argument goes, if this guy who's come from nowhere blesses Abraham, then he must be better than Abraham, because it's normally the one who's better that blesses. And if Abraham's the top, then Melchizedek has got this greater priesthood than even what comes out of Abraham. And so the writer of Hebrews puts Jesus into the center and the top of the priesthood, that Jesus is right at the top, better than all the things that have gone before. In fact, the writer of the Hebrews labors the point that Jesus is better than everything. He lets them know that he's better than angels, that Jesus is better than Moses, that the rest that Jesus is coming to bring is better than the rest of going into the promised land, and that the covenant that Jesus has to offer, this new one, is better. It's more permanent. And the high priest of this one, i.e. Jesus, is better. Why is it better? Because he never dies. There's one of him. And in the letter of Hebrews as well, it says it a bit further on in chapter 7, in verse 27, it says his sacrifice is better because he sacrificed for the sins once. Once for all he offered this sacrifice, and it was done forever. And he never dies. Because he never dies, he can always intercede for us. So why is that good? Well, his sacrifice has made peace with God for us. This one sacrifice that he made once on the cross, it made peace with God so that we could have access to God. He made peace so that we could have access. Isn't that good? Brothers and sisters, this should liven our hearts that we have access. And in that sense, Jesus intercedes for us. What does that mean? Well, sometimes we need someone to speak for us, don't we? Especially when we're in trouble. Yeah. And this is essentially what the cross does in a mega way. That the cross goes before the Father and says, look at me, there with me, look at me, I'm perfect. Look at me instead of them. They are with me, so when you see them, you see me. Father, here it is. He intercedes on our behalf. For those who are hid in Christ, we're able to actually get right up into the throne room of God because Jesus, the great high priest, is being our go-between. He's the one making a new covenant with the Father. On our own, we're not worthy. We were not worthy to make any sort of agreement with God. But he could. And through his life, death and resurrection, he made this awesome new agreement, or we might say new covenant with God, that the whole world could be forgiven when they're found in him. So in this sense, Jesus is interceding. Now, I don't think he's constantly going, oh, Father, remember the cross, remember the cross, remember the cross, remember the cross, just constantly doing it. But in Jesus' essence now, he is the one who's lived, died and risen. So him just being with the Father oozes, they're mine and they have access because they are in me. He is the risen one. And those who are found in him have access to the Father. Hallelujah. That is awesome. So he's not just interceding for us as far as a positional way that we can feel right with God. We also caught a glimpse in this John 17 reading that he's praying for his church too. And this is a wonderful thing for us to know. If you were to open your Bible to John 17, there are so many great things that we can hold on to, knowing that these are the things that Jesus is praying for us. In verse 9, he says, I'm praying for them that... Oh, it actually goes into verse 10. That will glory will come to them through me. Glory has come to me through them. That's what the church will do. That us by the church living in Jesus' way, that we would bring glory to the Father. In verse 11, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus is praying that we'll be protected. And that we'll be one. So when we see that we're not one or protected, we can actually lean back on Jesus and say, Jesus, we really want this to happen. Help us to be one together. Help these divisions in the church go. In verse 13, Jesus prays that we would have the full measure of joy. Anyone want that? I bet you do. Well, Jesus is praying that his church would have the full measure of joy. His joy. Verse 15. That we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but that we'd be protected from the evil one. So next time you feel like running, don't. Press into Jesus and say, High Priest, please protect me from the evil one. And then have the courage knowing that he is with you. There's another prayer. another intercession that Jesus is making for us, that we'd be sanctified by the truth. That's in verse 17. Jesus said to the Father, "Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth." Here's another thing that he's praying for us. So Jesus intercedes for us before the Father so we can have access. He also prays for us. But what does this mean? I'm about to ramp it up and change direction now. We have access and Jesus is praying for us. Awesome. That's good. But there's also one other thing that we have with our access. The intercession that Jesus makes that we can access the Father is that we have things that we can do too. Does anyone know what this is? Anyone? I can't hear you. No, it's not a Fitbit. It's a gym membership. I have full access to the gym and the pool out at Gary Wangara in Kangaroo Flat. I have full access to go. Do you know what's sad about this? I have full access, and yet it may as well be that I don't have it. You may laugh. Sadly, that is where we are as a church sometimes. We have full access to go before the throne of grace. It says that quite clearly in Hebrews chapter 4, if we were to read that. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, this is in verse 14 of chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have complete access to go, and yet I reckon there's many of us who never go. We might know positionally that we're right with God, but do we actually enter and pray? Enter and ask for the things that we need, as it talks about there, that we can be helped in our time of need. There is a difference between our needs and what we need, sure. But we do have access to go before the throne of grace and to pray, knowing that our Father in heaven will hear us. In John 17, we're told that we're given the name the Father. Here's a name that we've been given, that we can talk to God as Father, that we do have access to bring our prayers and petitions right before him. Because of that first intercession, that we have an intermediary between us and God, we can go. And I want to challenge us as a church to make sure we are going right before that throne and praying for the things we really need, not just the things we think we need. Let's go before him and pray because we have access. Let's not waste our access. Let's not waste it. Now, there's one more important thing that I want to finish on. I've got about 2 minutes to go, but this is vitally important. There are people that we know that don't know Jesus, but we do. Part of the role of intercession is for us, like Jesus prays for us and does stuff for us, it's for us who can have access to the throne to be pleading with the Father, "My friend needs to know you, Father. Please help them see you." that we can intercede, because we can get close as well through Jesus. We can intercede for the people who don't even know that we would do that and who don't know that they can have access to God. May we be a church who intercede for others. And in fact, something's coming in our diocese. Bishop Matt announced it yesterday, which is fantastic. We're going to be having prayer cards where we as a diocese are encouraged to pray for three people. And in a sense, it's this interceding. Interceding for three people for a year. Praying to God about these people for one whole year. We'll talk to God about them so that then we can talk to them about God. God, give us an opportunity to speak to our friends. Let that hope that I have pass on to them. So what is Jesus doing now? One of the things he's interceding, makes a way. He's also praying for his church, so that's a great thing. We can also pray. And I pray that we would enter the throne of grace, knowing that the great high priest is there. We're there on his coattails and his coattails alone. And that's why when we pray in Jesus' name, there is power in that prayer, because we're with the great high priest. And he's on the throne at the right hand of God the Father. Let's pray. We have access, Heavenly Father, and we don't take it flippantly, but we do take it boldly to come before your throne of grace. We pray that you will help us take up that access that we have and look for your power to be unleashed in our hearts and minds, and that your world will come closer to your ways. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.